live stream, through podcast, or sermon by phone. Thank you for all those who make this service possible in all its various forms. My name is Nancy Small, and I'm the chair of Trinity's worship team. Today, as Reverend Rachel is on study leave, I am joined by our music director, Louise Elder, as well as members of the choir to present this service. This service weaves together favorite hymns old and new with selections from A Song of Faith, the United Church of Canada's Statement of Faith, which was adopted in 2006. I'm going to leave birthdays and celebrations for Rachel next week because she gets such joy out of doing it. And as she is on study leave, pastoral emergency coverage is included in the bulletin. With deep gratitude and respect, Trinity United Church Summerside gathers and worships on unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Epiquette, Prince Edward Island, is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. Let us settle our minds and our hearts and prepare ourselves for worship. I invite Wynn to come forward to help me light the Christ candle. And in the meantime, could you please join me in reading the prayer? It's responsive, it's in the bulletin, and should be on the screen. Please join me in reading this. In this season of Epiphany in Canada, we are still in the depths of winter. Cold, howling winds and long nights may keep us inside, and we long for spring. May this Christ light warm our hearts and light our way, so that we can be faithful disciples in this time. Amen. Please join me with the first reading, the call to prayer from A Song of Faith. God is holy mystery, beyond complete knowledge, above perfect description. Yet in love, the one eternal God seeks relationship. So God creates the universe, and with it the possibility of being and relating. God tends the universe, mending the broken and reconciling the estranged. God enlivens the universe, guiding all things toward harmony with their source. Grateful for God's loving action, we cannot keep from singing. Please be seated. Let us read together the gathering prayer. Creator of all, this is the day that you have given us. We join together this day, each of us coming from our own lives with our own diverse experiences to celebrate the feeling of being as your people. We see a faith that will create in our hearts the hope found in the blessed promises you have made to us. Our emotions, ranging from joy to sorrow, we offer to you. You know our hearts and welcome us into your presence. Forgive us, guide us, and teach us as we give thanks to you for this new day. Help us to keep you securely within our hearts this day and always. In the name of our Redeemer and Savior, we pray. Amen. We continue praying as we repeat the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. So I'd like to invite all the people who are coming up to the front getting ready to go down for kids' worship. So if you can come up around here, then I can talk to you here rather than over here. And Colin, if you want to go right to the podium, we'd be all set for that. Good to see you all here. So today, we're going to be talking in the Spark Bible reading about a family reunion. Now, I don't know if anybody here has been to a family reunion. Nobody out there has been to a family reunion. Anybody been to a family reunion? Oh, a few of us. Good. Now, family reunions usually, in my experience, occur about every year. In my husband's family, they do it every summer, and it's been going on for dear knows how long. And it's always the weekend before Labor Day weekend, so you cannot forget. And it's always at noon, and be there at noon. And it goes till like 3 o'clock, and everybody leaves at 3 o'clock. So you have to be in that window. So it's a great time. So a family reunion is when you meet all your cousins and aunts and uncles, and somebody wants to kiss you and hug you, and you probably don't like that. But it's a family reunion. Well, Colin's going to read us about a family reunion today, but this family reunion hasn't happened for many, many years due to some happenings in that family that weren't so nice. So we're talking about Joseph this morning, and he's going to see his family of many, many brothers after a lot of years of not seeing them. So you can imagine what that might be like. And it's really kind of a weird circumstance, too, when they meet. So Colin, can you share that reading with us, please?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Joseph helps his family. God always watched over Joseph. God spoke to Joseph in dreams, and Joseph used his knowledge to plan ahead. When the famine came, people from all over came to find food for their families because they heard that Joseph had saved up for 7 years. Even Joseph's brother traveled to Egypt to find food. But it had been such a long time since they've seen each other, the brothers didn't recognize Joseph. Joseph kept it a secret of who he was from his brothers for a while, but soon he couldn't wait any longer. Joseph finally told them who he was. "I am your brother Joseph, whom you have sold to Egyptian traders. Don't feel bad anymore, because God sent me ahead of you so that I could save people, including you. This famine is going to last many years, so hurry back to our father and tell him that I am safe. I want you to bring your families and your children and all your sheep and goats to live with me." Once Joseph's brothers saw who he was, they all hugged each other and cried. They jumped up and down with relief and joy. Joseph and his brothers talked and talked. But the brothers talked for a long time. The sun came up and down. When the Pharaoh heard that Joseph's brothers have came, he told Joseph, "Tell them to go to everyone in their family. I will give them the best land in Egypt to call their own." Joseph gave his brothers wagons of food, new clothes, and they went back to their father and told him the good news. "Joseph is still alive. He's the ruler of Egypt." Everyone danced when they heard the news. "This is all I could ask for," Joseph's father said. "Now I will see my son again. Let's get moving." Joseph's family all moved to Egypt, but the brothers were worried. "What if Joseph is still angry with us? We were so awful to him. What can we do?" The brothers went to Joseph and said, "Here we are. We don't deserve to be your brother anymore, so we will be your slave." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be silly. I am your brother no matter what. Even though that you planned for something bad to happen to me, God turned it into something good."
Thanks, Colin. So it's quite a story. It's not a really nice family. But luckily, Joseph was pretty forgiving and accepted them all back and gave them a new home, and all was well. And you're going to take that story and take it apart a little bit this morning and understand it better, because there's a lot of stuff in that story that's kind of beyond thinking about just as you hear it. It's one of great forgiveness and family love, particularly on Joseph's part, because Joseph was important to God, and he wanted Joseph to do good things and show his family those good things. So we're going to sing a couple of verses of For the Beauty of the Earth. We're going to sing verses 3 and 4, which celebrate family love and all that God blesses us with. And when you go down for your time together, have a great time talking about that story. It'll be a fun one to talk about. And thank you for bringing food for the food bank as your offering, too. I see a can of soup there. That's a great bonus. So let's sing.
Sharing a second song of faith. With the church through the ages, we speak of God as one and triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We also speak of God as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer God, Christ, and Spirit Mother, Friend, and Comforter, Source of Life, Living Word, and Bond of Love, and in other ways that speak faithfully of the one on whom our hearts rely, the fully shared life at the heart of the universe. We witness the holy mystery that is holy love.
Amen.
A Song of Faith 3. God is creative and self-giving, generously moving in all the near and distant corners of the universe. Nothing exists that does not find its source in God. Our first response to God's providence is gratitude. We sing thanksgiving. Finding ourselves in a world of beauty and mystery, of living things, diverse and interdependent, of complex patterns of growth and evolution, of some atomic particles and cosmic swirls, we sing of God the Creator, the Maker and Source of all that is.
Fourth Song of Faith. Each part of creation reveals unique aspects of God the Creator, who is both in creation and beyond it. All parts of creation, animate and inanimate, are related. All creation is good. We sing of the Creator, who made humans to live and move and have their being in God. In and with God, we can direct our lives toward right relationship with each other and with God. We can discover our place as one strand in the web of life. We can grow in wisdom and compassion. We can recognize all people as kin. We can accept our mortality and finitude, not as a curse, but as a challenge to make our lives and choices matter.
Thank you.
Indeed. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Today's theme is to sing, is to pray twice. So what a friend we have in Jesus is one that I think I often sit down and play and do a lot of praying while I'm playing. And it just, some days it can be really bright and happy and lively, and some days it can be pretty kind of mournful and longing. And there's some loneliness that can, when you pray and sing that song, that can be eased by singing that song. So hymns help us to pray twice. The following quote is from a homily from a worship pastor at Our Lady of Mercy Parish in Rhode Island. He presented it on October 2nd, 2018. And it's a quote he starts with by St. Augustine. Now, some people say that it's not really St. Augustine who said this originally, but he took it and ran with it, and he gets credited with it most. And his quote is, "He who sings prays twice." The Holy Bishop of Hippo meant that singing adds to our praise and worship of God, that our voices are gifts with which we can make music to the Lord. Sung prayer expresses the joy of the heart, the happiness resulting from one who has encountered Jesus Christ and experienced his love. Sung prayer reminds us of the choirs of heaven, with whom we are called to praise God eternally in heaven. Now that quote captured all that I had been reading to prepare for this message, and it's been percolating all for a couple of weeks in my brain. But whatever the kind of voice that is singing that prayer, whether it's on tune, out of tune, whether it's lyrically beautiful, so gentle, or so gravelly, so high, so low, it doesn't matter. When we sing, we pray twice, and in church, together, all of our voices creates that joyful choir that sings to praise God. Sometimes we like to sing to God as a corporate entity, such as in church or a choir, because it's really fun to sing beside somebody. Sometimes we just like to sing on our own so nobody hears us. That's good too. It might be in our cars, you know, where you see those people singing away to the radio. Might be in your shower, might be in your daily work. We can use those songs that we sing and those hymns that we sing to pray twice and internalize the words of the scripture that are built into those songs. It was funny the other day, I don't know, I think it's been since New Year's, but something struck me and the song that came up is Great is Thy Faithfulness, and it just popped into my brain. And I had to stop and think because, boy, there's a God moment. And there was something in that moment that made me feel that that faithfulness was there. Our songs can be a lament. They can be a pouring out of whatever emotion. They can just be a moment of sheer exhaustion. Not the matter. God will hear those sung prayers. The Bible mentions singing over 400 times, according to the internet, which of course we all believe. And there are more than 50 direct commands to sing. The Psalms are a good place to start your counting if you want to research that. Commands to sing to the Lord. The first place that singing is mentioned is in Exodus 15, according to the internet, when the people who had crossed the Red Sea with Moses sang their gratitude and joy to God for their safety. And you notice today when we were reading about Joseph and his family, they were all so excited they danced, so there must have been music there too. So music, and I'm sure they sang, was there. They sang their joy. How can we keep from singing when we are directed to sing? And we have lots of mentions of singing in the scriptures. In Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Sing it with gratitude in your hearts. And from Ephesians 5, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, sing and make melody to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks to God the Father at all times, and for all you have in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have many wonderful hymns and songs that we've memorized over the years. I'm sure you could probably sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus without the words. And we continue to learn new songs by heart because new songs might cue something else in our brain in our scriptures. I want us to sing together the first verse of a hymn found in our new music resource, the Then Let Us Sing resource. And the song is called We Gather as Christ's Body, and we'll sing verse 1 right now. The words are written by Jason Locke, who I'm going to tell you about shortly. But let's share this first verse now, and as you sing it to a familiar tune, which the tune comes from the early 1900s, it's by Gustav Holst, I want you to try to think prayerfully about the words as you sing. And I know sometimes if you're trying to sing a tune and the words and it's not as familiar, it's hard to think about those words prayerfully, but let's do our best as we sing verse 1 that are written by Jason Locke, who is alive and well right now. So, new words to this tune. Jason's words really speak to me about coming together to sing as one. The Spirit is with us and we join heart, breath, melody with the word. Now to introduce you to Jason Locke. Jason is a musician in Toronto who I met at the first Music Matters conference that I attended, which I think it was 2022. Jason's church was hosting that conference and Jason was planning and leading the conference. Jason is a wonderful human being. Here he is with his dog, and his dog is Toby, I believe. And he lives in Toronto, as I said. He's willing to share his wisdom and his music. I've had many wonderful conversations with Jason, and I am so appreciative of those conversations. And we have sung several of his songs as a choir and in anthems at Trinity over these past couple of years. We'll look at the next screen, Gwen, and these are just... Here's Jason in his church at Islington United in Toronto. He is a composer, and he sits at the piano, and he has many lovely little videos about how he actually composes, because that's kind of a unique little thing to be able to do, and to come up putting all those notes and words and melodies together. He's also, and we can go to the next screen, he's an organist, he's a pianist, he's a song enlivener, he's a choral conductor, he's a composer. He leads a vibrant and growing music program at Islington United where congregants are invited to share their musical gifts to the wider church community. He does have connection to us here at Summerside, believe it or not. He has just completed his Master of Music Performance in Choral Conducting last June. He graduated, and he did that under the study of Dr. Mark Ramsey, whose name most of us know here, who was a music director here at this church for many years and is a Summerside person. So he studied with Mark, and now he is also a chorister in Dr. Ramsey's Exaltate Chamber Singers out of Toronto, and you can check them out online. They're a wonderful, wonderful choir. Worth going online on YouTube to check the Exaltate Chamber Singers or just Google Dr. Mark Ramsey and that will come up. So Jason is part of all of that. As a composer, he creates choral works that balance beauty and accessibility. His writing emphasizes memorable melodies, engaging voicings, and expressive accompaniment. You heard Jason's music at the beginning of this service, as all the music that I played except the very beginning piece was music by Jason, They are all, some of them are in the new music resource, and some of them are anthems that we've sung here. You heard Jason's music on Remembrance Day. If you think back to the fall when we had Daisy here to play her trumpet for the Reveille and the Last Post, and she also helped us sing an anthem called Abide With Me. And this anthem, Abide With Me, which I played as a preparation for worship, is really a good one to take a quick little dive into. Because Jason uses the lyrics of familiar hymns and writes a memorable new melody, but it heightens those lyrics and gives us a fresh new take on those words, which I think sometimes we need. Because we sing the same old tune and we sort of forget to think about the words, but if we have a new melody, some words are now heightened in a whole different way. So I'm going to play a little bit of Abide With Me. Actually, we sang this hymn last week because it was a favorite of Charlene Campbell's as a member of the Century Club. And it's the Eventide tune, which you know well, but I'm going to play a little bit of the new tune. I'm going to, choir, if you want to just hum along with that, that would be fine with me. You don't have to sing it out loud. I'll get you to jump in a minute. Here is the melody that Jason wrote for the words, Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. And you probably know the rest of the words. It's a beautiful melody. And then he goes on to add a little chorus which repeats, Abide with me, three times. So it's a plea for God to be with him. And I'm going to ask the choir to sing that with me now. Abide with me. And I want you to feel how that music kind of wraps around you and that prayer gets more strength-filled each time we sing it. So it has a very warm feeling to it. And it just, the music is a prayer. I could continue with lots of examples of Jason's work and other people's who help us to pray twice and move us into prayer. But I am really thrilled to be able to share Jason's music with you today and let you know that he is one of my favorite composers, but I have many. But Jason at the moment is really right out there because of his lyrics. He's inclusive. And he has that great way of being able to make music into a prayer. So thank you for your ministry in music, Jason, and for allowing us to use your music to glorify God. Can we sing verse 2 of We Gather as Christ's Body, which we sang the first verse 2 a moment ago. Thanks, Gwen. So we can all sing. God wants us to have hear our song. He's given us each a voice, and he wants to hear that. We can sing, we can pray twice, we can do it out loud or corporately together or by ourselves. Music will enhance the prayer. It will elevate our worship. As we sing together in our church, we breathe together, we listen to each other, and we sing as one. We glorify God and join in a universal choir. Let's finish off and as a universal choir together and pray the words for verse 3 of this song, which ends, God's love becomes our song. Final verse. We gather as Christ's body. Let's pause and praise together. Creator God, we thank you for music, for its harmonies, its melodies, the melodies that stick in our heads and give us solace. We thank you for the words of hymns and songs that help us pray to you and connect us to your spirit through the words of scripture that they entail. We thank you for composers like Jason Locke, whose combinations of melody, rhythm, and harmonies enhance our worship as we collectively praise you. May we each sing our song to you with gratitude, joy, and with fervor as we pray the words of the scripture and sing the songs of our faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. And that brings us to, what's next, Nancy?
Tell me the stories of Jesus.
Oh, tell me the stories of Jesus, yes. And I believe we'll sing verses 1 and 2. Gwen will just jump one slide. Verses 1 and 2.
And we find God made known in Jesus of Nazareth. And so we sing of God the Christ, the Holy One embodied. We sing of Jesus, a Jew, born to a woman in poverty and in a time of social upheaval and political oppression. He knew humans' joy and sorrow. So filled with the Holy Spirit was that in him people experienced. Presence of God among them. We sing praise to God incarnation. Jesus announced the coming of God reign, a commonwealth not of domination but of peace, justice, and reconciliation. He healed the sick and fed the hungry. He forgave sins and freed those we held captive by a manner of demonic power. He crossed barriers of race, class, culture, and gender. He preached and practiced unconditionally love, love of God, love of neighbor, love of friend, love of enemy. And he commanded the falling to love one another as he had loved them, because his witness to love was threatening. Those excusing power sought to silence Jesus. He suffered abandonment and betrayal, state-sanctioned torture and execution. He was crucified.
Song of Faith 6. But death was not the last word. God raised Jesus from death, turned sorrow into joy, despair into hope. We sing of Jesus raised from the dead. We sing hallelujah. By becoming flesh in Jesus, God makes all things new. In Jesus' life, teaching, and self-offering, God empowers us to live in love. In Jesus' crucifixion, God bears the sin, grief, and suffering of the world. In Jesus' resurrection, God overcomes death. Nothing separates us from the love of God. The risen Christ lives today, present to us, and the source of our hope.
Thank you. the heart of winter. In many places in February, winter persists with its short days and longing cold. Everything seems to take a little more effort, getting out the door, checking in on one another, and finding energy when the season feels heavy. This time of year, it can feel long, but it also reminds us that care is deeply needed. Through mission and service, we care shows in practicality, meaningful ways. Through your generosity, mission and service partners are a constant present in the middle of winter. Whether there's snow or heat, partners are supporting people facing food insecurity, displacement, isolation, and uncertainty. Your support becomes warmth, stability, and care where it is needed most. Hope in winter doesn't have to be dramatic. Sometimes it looks constant. Sometimes it looks like staying engaged in the face of enduring hardship. Mission and service partners respond to the needs of their communities with commitment and creativity, and your support is needed to give them the flexibility to do their work well. Thank you for continuing to walk alongside mission and service partners. Your generosity makes a difference, steadily and when it matters most.
Good morning. For any information on the work and life of Trinity Summerside and its work in the community, the bulletin or the newly released Lenten newsletter are available at the entrances or on the website, trinitysummerside.ca. Trinity is truly blessed by the people in this community of faith. We thank you for being willing to share your time, talent, and treasure all year round. I'll ask Bill to bring forward the offering plate, and while he's bringing it forward, if we could all rise, and we'll join in the response. In grateful response to God's abundant love, we bear in mind our integral connection to the earth and to one another. We participate in God's work of healing and mending creation. Amen.
You can have a seat. You may have a seat, please. And we're going to continue with our Song of Faith 8. And Susan will share that with us.
Sharing a Song of Faith 8. The fullness of life includes moments of unexpected inspiration and courage lived out, experiences of beauty, truth, and goodness, blessings of seeds and harvest, friendship and family, intellect and sexuality, the reconciliation of persons through justice and communities living in righteousness, and the articulation of meaning. And so we sing of God the Spirit, who from the beginning has swept over the face of creation, animating all energy and matter and moving in the human heart. We sing of God the Spirit, faithful and untamable, who is creatively and redemptively active in the world. The Spirit challenges us to celebrate the holy, not only in what is familiar, but also in what seems strange and foreign. We sing of the Spirit who speaks our prayers of deepest longing and enfolds our concerns and confessions, transforming us and the world.
And we're going to continue and sing our final hymn today, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, and we will stand for that. All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Thanks, Gwen, for jumping there.
Thank you.
we'll remain standing and together do the song of faith together. And join me. As children of the timeless one, our time-bound lives will find completion in the all-embracing Creator. In the meantime, we embrace the present, embodying hope, loving our enemies, caring for the earth, choosing life. Grateful for God's loving action, we cannot keep from singing, creating and seeking relationship in awe and trust. We witness to holy mystery, who is holy love. And amen. And I know you have joined me in praying with our fellow congregant in this time. And thank you for just sharing these moments with us to pray for that person. And thank you to all those people who were around and supported and made that just a more comforting time in a time of panic. We thank you for being here. I thank the choir for their help this morning. They had to jump in at the last moment, but they did a great job. Thank you, Nancy, for assisting this morning, and to all at the back for their work. We are truly blessed to have all of you to enhance our song and make our prayers doubly sung. And as we sing, we're going to finish off with a commissioning. It's a song you've sung often, Go Now in Peace. It's a commissioning we sing to each other. You're going to sing it with us. And together we're going to sing it with hope and faith and optimism that we do go in peace. We never are alone. God is with us every hour, every day. We'll go in faith, and we know he will guide us in all our what we do. So sing to each other, sing for yourself, and sing to God's glory as we commission each other.
I'm going to ask that everyone exit by the accessible entry, please, to give some time for the work at the back of the church. So if everyone could please come at the end of the service, come through this door and exit by the accessible entry. Thank you.